Chapter 24. Vic Prado walked into Mike Frazetta's TV room the way he walked into every room, like he owned it. The outlaw Josie Wales was playing on the huge screen, and Mike, as always, was mouthing the words with Clint Eastwood's Josie Wales. "To hell with them fellas. Buzzards gotta eat, same as worms." Vic stood there, shaking his head at his childhood friend. Some men grow old, he thought, but never grow up. Still, Mike Frazetta had gotten pretty far in life for a poor Italian kid from Lowell with a Jones for Clint Eastwood westerns. One thing Mike had always had was a steely determination. He tended to get what he wanted regardless of how he got it. If Mike had to pay for it, that was fine. But if someone else had to pay the price, that was even better. Mike owned a lot of things. A big heart wasn't among them. One of the things he did own was Vic Prado. Lock, stock, and barrel. Mike was still busy watching the screen, waiting for Clint's next line. But Joe Breen had spotted Vic the moment he walked in. Joe had just sat there in the dark, staring at Prado. Eventually, Vic felt the chill of Joe's icy stare and turned to see Breen's familiar and unwelcome silhouette. Vic and Joe had known each other since Joe's mother had sent her son away from Boston to live with her brother in Lowell. "Maybe your Uncle Declan can knock some sense into that thick skull of yours, boy," were his mother's parting words. Joe's Uncle Deck, a tough Irishman from the other side with a brogue as thick as road tar, lived two doors down from the Prados and around the corner from the Frazettas. The boys had become a trio from early on, but there had always been something cold and menacing about Joe. It bothered Vic. It still bothered Vic. It never bothered Mike. When he was sure he had unnerved Vic, Joe said, "Look who's graced us with his presence, boss. It's the utility infielder from the Kansas City Royals." Vic cringed. Mike Frazetta wasn't the only man in the room who hadn't grown up. Vic had played 14 years in the majors, but should have played only 11. Toward the end of his career, with his knees failing and his bat slowing down, he'd leapt at a free agent offer from the then lowly Royals. It hadn't worked out for either party. Switching leagues and having to learn a whole new set of opposing pitchers was tough, and adjusting to the designated hitter rule drove him mad. For the last 2 years of his time in the bigs, Vic had been relegated to occasional pinch-hitting duty and playing once every 2 weeks, usually out of position. He was once a borderline Hall of Famer, but his time in KC had driven a stake through the heart of his chances for Cooperstown. He barely hit his weight, and his range in the field was very limited. "Yo, Vic," Mike said, clicking off the TV. He jumped off the couch and turned up the room lights. He put his hands on Vic's biceps. "You look like a million fucking bucks, like always." Mike may have owned Vic, but he still admired him. It was like a hardwired dynamic. He couldn't help himself. Although he was a few months older than Prado, was vastly better off and more powerful, he would always feel like Vic's little brother. "Thanks, Mike. I'm okay." He looked over and saw Joe Breen smirking at him.
"Okay. I hear you had a good time in New York on my dime, Vic."
"Yeah, thanks for that. That was good of you to let me have the reunion."
"Nah, forget about it," Mike said, not meaning a word. "Where are Gino and Carlo?"
"Parked on the street.
About them, Mike. What about them?"
Vic said, "Can't take them with me in paradise. No way. They'll stick out there and call attention to our business. A man like Harlan Salter will run in the other direction if he sees your boys with me." Mike turned red.
"Harlan fucking Salter will do whatever the fuck I want as long as I got his son."
"I admit you have leverage, Mike, but it's limited. You kill the son and Salter will run to the cops and he'll blow up the whole network. We got a scheme here that Madoff would be proud of. As long as we keep adding new firms to our group and use some of their assets to pay off the investors from the other groups, we got it made."
"He'll blow you up, Vic," Breen said. "Salter doesn't know Mike. He doesn't know me. He knows you. See, that's what a front is all about. And you aren't likely to speak if you should be arrested, are you now?"
"Fuck you, Joe. I don't need your implied threats. If you hadn't killed that girl, we wouldn't be in this mess."
"Not for nothing, Vic," Mike Frazetta said. But if you had chosen more wisely in terms of asset management firms, the girl would still be breathing. It was your mistake to kill the girl as much as Joe. So don't be pushing back so hard.
Vic knew Mike was right, but it wasn't supposed to happen this way. Vic picked Coastline Consultants Group precisely because he knew Harlan Salter IV would resist his overtures and because the Salter family was based in Paradise. He had timed everything just right, had got Mike to let him have the reunion and got Jesse Stone to come. Maybe the girl's murder would help him when it was all said and done, but it ate at him.
Okay, Mike, I'm sorry, but I can't have your guys around me. And I could tell Jesse Stone was already suspicious of them in New York. If I show up in some bullshit little town with bodyguards, he's gonna...
Frazetta held up his palms.
You made your point.
Good. Vic smiled with relief. But his win was short-lived.
Gino and Carlo are out, but Joe will go instead. Before you say anything, listen. He'll just hang around at the fringes. He won't be with you. He'll just be keeping an eye on things, watching my back and yours at the same time.
Vic knew better than to argue. This was as much of a concession as he was likely to get from Frazetta.
Whatever you say, Mike. That's better.
He went over to a desk, pulled out a file, and handed it over to Vic.
These are the new contract terms. Salter agrees and signs. He gets the kid back the following day. He don't sign?
Well, he better sign. Meanwhile, Joe Breen slumped back in his chair. He had planned on spending the next few days at home in bed with Moira. He'd done all sorts of shopping to please the lass, bought a few bottles of expensive champagne. Now he'd have to babysit Vic Prado. One day, Joe promised himself, he would have that pebble out of his shoe once and for all.